Pickley and Marotta mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Pickley Blast.
These are strange times in Arizona, folks. We just lost our NHL team. Some in the national media are wondering if we could lose a second major professional franchise. Could you imagine us as a two-horse town? And you really can't blame them, because as much as the Diamondbacks swear they really are a forever team, and for all our considerable trust in their upper management, their owner was the one who brought up relocation a couple of months ago. The words came out of his mouth, and the Coyotes are proof of how fast things can change around here, which brings us to our Suns. If we ever needed a reassuring, satisfying playoff series and postseason from our basketball team, this is it. We need Devin Booker to be our hero, more Captain Arizona and less Mr. Freeze chilling his way through a basketball season. We need Kevin Durant to care about his legacy. He was just called out by Stephen A. Smith for winning nothing before joining a super team in Golden State and then not getting out of the first round of the playoffs ever since he left the Warriors. We need our basketball team to absorb and embrace the physicality and the intensity of the playoffs, to remain oblivious and unaffected by the referees, and we need at least one member of the Big Three to be the best player on the court every night of the journey ahead, and we need the entire team to stay connected, something they've had a lot of difficulty doing, because it's about time that we have a franchise that is more than just an unexpected pleasure. We need a heavyweight that actually lives up to expectations, and that team is the Suns, and that time is right here, right now. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, who make luxury attainable. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
A lot to chew on there. A lot to chew
on.
Let's start here, shall
sure?
we?
Let's do it.
We aren't having those conversations. There are opportunities available. You know, there are other cities that would covet having Major League Baseball. I mean, it's not like I'm, you know, speaking out of school to say that. And those names, they're prominent cities that would love to have a Major League team. We're not in dialogue with those communities, but, you know, it's not where we are spending time or energy. We may run out of time in Phoenix. We hope that won't happen. You know, we're hard at it. We're continuing to have meetings. We've ramped up the dialogue in every way that we know how, and we'll continue to do that.
That was at the beginning of spring training. That was Ken Kendrick, the owner of the Diamondbacks, February 19th, when asked about, hey, what's going on with Chase Field, the efforts to get an improvement, are there opportunities to move, and the question was built in with, like, to move somewhere within the valley. Mm-hmm. Ken Kendrick willingly went there, talked about other cities.
Right.
In a result of the Coyotes news becoming official on their move to Salt Lake City, the Diamondbacks released a statement. The statement read, "The entire Diamondbacks organization is disappointed in the now official news of our NHL team being relocated out of state. We firmly believe that we deserve and can support teams from each of the major sports and are troubled that a solution could not be found for all parties involved. We are sad for all sports fans and all who care so deeply about our community." The initial reaction to that on social media was, "What, are you threatening us again?"
Yeah, I saw that reaction.
Some people came with that reaction.
Yes, and because we also know that the Diamondbacks are looking, because they've expressly said so, for a public partner, a public-private collaboration to kind of secure their future in downtown Phoenix. And that is going to be a hurdle. And I don't know whether or not the loss of the Coyotes will make the Valley more sympathetic to whatever that partnership might look like. I am sympathetic to the Diamondbacks because they're not owners of that stadium. So why should they be on the hook for capital reinforcements, improvements, maintenance kind of issues? If you rent an apartment, that's not on you. If you rent an apartment and your water pipe breaks, that's on the owner to fix. So I'm sympathetic to what they're saying, and you certainly don't want to lose another team. But listen, you listen to all the stuff that the Coyotes said, and then you wake up one day and they're gone.
Yeah, that's true.
And so this is fair to talk about.
Derek Hall was on with us yesterday, and he reiterated, hey, we're not going anywhere. I'm just talking about the reaction that that's...
But,
I do, too.
But things change.
That reaction to that statement yesterday was a bit... Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
It is.
That's the way people took it.
Yeah, and so I guess when you, and this is proof to what just happened to us, and I think part of the anger that Coyote fans have is how opportunistic and vultureistic Ryan Smith happened to be. Right? And for him to go on social media yesterday and talk about, oh, we already got 6,000 season ticket deposits. Good for you, vulture.
That was the exact phrase in my mind, but the tone was, good for you.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They're up to 11,000, by the way.
But so it's just reinforcing what Ken Kendrick made public, that there are people out there in other cities who will look at a team like the Diamondbacks, and if they run into a big obstacle ahead with this Chase Field situation, there's going to be another Ryan Smith out there. Mm-hmm. Looking to do exactly what that guy did to the Coyotes.
Yes.
Now, so I hope it is I hope this is something that will compel people to find a solution for this baseball team rather than turn your eyes and bury your head in the sand about it.
Well, and let's face it, too. Losing the Coyotes sucks. I think we can all agree on that. But in your possibility, the scenario that you brought up in the blast... The reaction to losing one of the three remaining teams that's here would be...
It can't happen.
It would be a lot more severe.
Right. That is something that we would have to avoid at all times. Because then you're really going backwards, and I totally agree with you. But again, I mean, just the reason this thing popped into my head is I just saw a story last night with the headline, could another major sports franchise be headed out of Arizona? And I thought, my first reaction was, what the heck is this? And then I went, oh, yeah.
My first reaction was clickbait. And then my second reaction was I clicked it.
Right. But again, so it's and because the words are out there. Mm-hmm. And so this is if a lease is set to expire and they need $500 million worth of renovations, where is this going to come from? Where is this part? When is this partnership going to happen? And the other thing that Ken Kendrick did say 2 months ago, his words, not mine, we are running out of time.
He did say that.
Now, that what that means is different to everybody, right? Now, that's purely subjective.
Yeah, and the beginning of the blast, it all centers from, hey, the Coyotes are now officially out of town. There's a press conference today at 11:30, Gary Bettman, Alex Morello. Then I'm sure that will quickly turn into a celebratory press conference sometime soon in Salt Lake City, introducing the Smith Entertainment Group. They're getting a hockey team, and Arizona just lost a hockey team. Mm-hmm. The owner of the Coyotes, and again, he still is the owner of an inactive franchise. The Arizona Coyotes still exist in the NHL's eyes. They just don't have any assets. That's the way it is.
Did you see how the Montreal Expos Twitter account responded to that? Hey, we're an inactive franchise. We're ready.
We're ready to be reenacted.
We're ready to be reenacted.
And how long? Reenacted. How long have they been inactive since 2004?
Yeah, but that's what I don't understand. Like, we retain the logo and the name, but is the history of the franchise?
Of course it is.
The history of the franchise goes with.
They're gone. The history's gone. If you get a new hockey team, it's for all intents and purposes, it's an expansion team.
Just with the same name.
Yeah, they get the history. For better or for worse.
Just like when the Jets moved to Arizona, the Coyotes, they were hanging Dale Howard, Chuck, and Thomas Steen up in the rafters.
So the new Winnipeg Jets don't have that.
So the way this works now is you got a 5-year window. Alex Morello's got a 5-year window. In an interview with Burns and Gambo yesterday, he said he would use the entire 5-year window. So that is something that maybe one of the few things that he said, if you want hockey to come back to the Valley, that did give you a little bit of optimism. If this June 27th public auction for this land doesn't go his way, according to what he said yesterday, he's not ready to pack it in. But doesn't right now, as you view this situation and the possibility of hockey coming back to the Valley, don't you view it as that is the date?
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen then, it's not going to happen?
I don't know what I feel about this. I don't know if there is, you know, a desire from the NHL to find a different person to maybe flip this. I do believe the NHL would like to, that. I do believe the NHL coming back to Arizona is something the NHL would embrace.
Yes.
But I just, this particular partnership, I still am unconvinced.
I am right there with you. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Another portion of the blast focused on Devin Booker. Let's face it, the man's got a lot of weight on his shoulders heading into this postseason. We'll get into that weight next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Luke. Who will be the key for the Phoenix Suns if they want to make a deep playoff run? We'll tell you what we think at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
That's for everybody else. You know, I haven't won a ring yet. That's the ultimate goal. Obviously, had some moments, you know, two games short of the goal. So, you know, being that close, you know, with a lot of career left, you know, gives me something to fight for and strive for.
Devin Booker, a couple days ago at Suns practice, asked the question, hey, how would you assess your playoff career? Says, I haven't won a ring, and that's for everybody else to do. Mm-hmm. I kind of dig that answer. You know, the ring should be the focus.
Yeah.
He's been very close. We still all have the image of game six in Milwaukee. Devin Booker looking at the closing seconds and the on-court celebration of the Bucks and captured by the cameras, just looking and shaking his head and saying, damn. That is the lasting impression I have of Devin Booker in the playoffs. And how would I assess his playoff mm-hmm. career? You know, he said it's for everybody else, so let's dive into it. I think there's a lot of pressure on Devin Booker. We talked to yeah. Kellen Olsen. He talked about mm-hmm. The pressure on Karl Anthony Towns, and I think he's right in diagnosing it that way. Yeah. But Devin Booker has been at times unstoppable, at times dominant, at times cutthroat. When the Suns have an opportunity to close out opponents, Devin Booker has been remarkable. When the Suns are facing elimination and need to lean on its best player,
he's had some really bad games.
He has not been there.
Yes, I agree with you. I think maybe this helps explain Devin Booker's kind of laissez-faire attitude, the chillin' comment. If you want me to play a dime store psychologist, I would say that Devin Booker, as a star basketball player with stated goals of being legendary, his words, not mine, that means he's very, very well aware of what it takes to get legendary. He's a student of the game. He's proven that by knowing the history of the Suns. So you're dealing with a guy who knows what the game is, who knows what the deal is, who knows how players get to be legendary. So he's aware of this. And we've talked about that endgame sequence in Game 5 against the Bucks at Footprint Center, the mano-a-mano that did not work out well for him against Drew Holiday. It's not the worst thing in the world, but if you're a player like Devin Booker, that is going to stick in your head, because those are the moments great players win. The Kobes, the Jordans, they rise up, they make a shot, they win the game. Devin Booker failed in that moment. Again, no shame. You're going up against a great defender, but we've talked to many basketball players of that level who say, yeah, that's one of those moments that is going to stick into Devin Booker's craw until he makes a shot that wins this team a championship. Okay, then there's the Luka stuff. The Luka stuff, it took on a life of its own. It has a life of its own. That was a very embarrassing thing to have to deal with, to be clowning Luka, the Luka special comment when he was lying on the floor, and then to get punked by Luka at the end of that thing. Okay, that was a bad, bad look. Mm-hmm. Last year's postseason, I thought Devin Booker was sensational against the Nuggets through the first four games, and that's not an opinion, it's a fact, you know it. Yeah. Everyone knows it. But again, you're getting eliminated in a non-competitive game at home that you've got to wear if you're Devin Booker, even though the hard left out of the postseason, I don't think it had much to do with Devin Booker. I think it had to do with a team that wasn't fully formed, fully cooked, and a guy in DA who tapped out, and the whole thing kind of fell apart. But if you're Devin Booker, you're still wearing it. So I think that all of this stuff is very, very true. And I think that it would be very difficult for a basketball player, like, because if you go all in emotionally and you tell everybody how much you care and how much you need to make this right, and then you fail again, what do? That's Josh Allen. So I think as a defense mechanism, I think Book maybe kind of has adopted this. I'm not I'm not going to show you what I feel about this until I accomplish what I need to accomplish.
Yeah, it's a stoicism that he's certainly had. James Jones joined us yesterday here on Bickley, or actually on Wednesday on Bickley Murata Mornings. He says, yeah, number one is ready.
I think we'll see the best of Devin, and I don't think he's been laying in the weeds. I just think when you play at such a high level, like Devin does, you have lulls and you have situations and time periods and time frames where you just don't play your best. And, you know, everyone's watching. You know, these guys are human. They're kind of superhuman in a way. But I have no doubt. Like, Devin will be locked in. He'll be ready, and he'll perform well in the playoffs.
Yeah, Booker also talked about, you know, the importance. Kellen Olsen really illustrated this, and he's not lying. Minnesota is a huge team. With Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, Naz Reid coming off the bench, McDaniels, Kyle Anderson, they got a lot of size. Booker talked about the importance of making those big guys work on the defensive end.
Ideally, it's what you want to do, but, you know, they also been dealing with that all season. So, you know, they know how to build the defense around it. You know, people have tried that type of offense to get against them, and they've been successful. So, everything's just going to be amplified.
I'm real curious because Kellen hit on this too. Rudy Gobert's playoff experience. He has been exploited. A guy that good defensively, and he's been tremendous. He's probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year again this year. But in the playoffs, when these teams see this attack, what Rudy Gobert being in the center of a defensive attack looks like, they you know, focus around it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been played off the floor. I mm-hmm. really wonder how the Suns are going to attack that. Because I thought Sunday's game, take from it what you will, but I thought the Suns did a very good job of being cognizant of where he was at all times. Didn't force much. Now, there was a couple of ill-advised shots that he rejected, and mm-hmm. he'll do that if you get into that trap. But I thought the Suns were very aware on what he was, where he was, and then worked for a different shot from somewhere else on the floor.
Oh, the Suns are very, very well equipped to make him a non-factor. Yes. That's what I think the truth of the matter is. I do think what Kellen said earlier, though, the wild card in this now is because I've seen Kevin Durant kind of recoil a little bit when teams get really physical with him. He can't do that. Because, as Kellen said, KD is the one guy more than anybody who gets free passes to the free throw line. And if those completely dry up, what's going to happen to him?
Mm-hmm.
Just the general vagaries of playoff basketball. They're going to have to show that they are built for this. And it's easy to say it. You got to show it.
Yeah.
And you got to show it through not only being physical, but accepting the physicality like it's nothing.
Yeah, coming up next week, comedian Bill Burr is in town for four shows at Arizona Financial Theater. Bill Burr is going to join us.
Yoo-hoo!
Straight ahead here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Yes, Bill Burr coming to town next week. Four shows at Arizona Financial Theater, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. One of the top comedians in the world.
The
also.
Best.
Actor, director, podcaster. He's done it all.
Drummer.
Bill Burr joins us right now on the Arizona Sports Line. Bill, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it. And coming to Arizona at a good time before it gets deathly hot. But your experiences, I mean, you've been everywhere. You've done comedy everywhere. What have your experiences been like in Arizona?
I've always had a good time. You know, being from the East Coast, like, I've always found, like, the desert, like, fascinating. At first, it was like, wow, this looks like Roadrunner Coyote. Then I hated it because it was so hot. And now I love it. I think it's beautiful. And, no, I used to do the improv when I was out there. I would do that hike up Camelback Mountain, which going up wasn't bad. Coming down when your legs were like spaghetti and then you still had to do two shows was probably not the smartest thing that I did as a younger person. But, I've always liked, you know, there's something about like New Mexico and Arizona where if you live close enough to the big city, but outside of it, you really kind of have this nice, peaceful on your own living that I like.
Now, my partner and I are big fans for a long, long time. And what has changed is you have just blown up. You're doing arena tours. You're like Metallica now. How is it different doing comedy in just gigantic venues?
Well, you definitely have imposter syndrome in the beginning, like, why the hell are all these people coming to see me? But fortunately, the technology, you know, with the screens and the sound, it's not like back in the day. Like, remember when you go to see a band back in the day, if you were in a venue where the sound was slapping against the walls, it was like, you know, it was terrible to see a band in and stuff. And, you know, back when I used to do that, I did some bigger radio shows. We used to do stand-up tours, and I had that experience of hearing my jokes echoing off the back of the place coming at me. They've gotten rid of all of that. So, like, even when I did, like, Fenway Park, it was, it just felt like a giant comedy club. It was incredible. So, it's not that...
That's cool.
It's not that difficult. Getting there, that was difficult, but once you're there, you know, staying there, that's difficult, but the sound is great.
I mentioned when I was introduced, and we're talking to Bill Burr, who's in town next week. Four shows at Arizona Financial Theater. He joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Director, that's on your list of accomplishments now. I watched Old Dads. I loved it. What did you make? How much did you enjoy the directorial process, being in charge of everything?
Oh, I got thrown into that. I had no desire to do it. But what happened was the pandemic. And, you know, everything shut down, including, you know, show business. So no directors were available. Like, they all had their last project and whatever else they were committed to do next. So no one was available. So they were like, Bill, you should direct it. You know, you wrote it. I'm like, I co-wrote it. And they're like, well, you know, it's still in your voice. And I was like, I don't want to. This is too much work. I don't want to do it. And then they started saying, all right, well, you know, it's going to go away. It's going to go away. And then I just said, OK, I'll do it. And it was I'm so happy I did it. But it was an avalanche of work. Plus, I had to act in it and stuff, which sucks because then you have to look at like 50 takes of yourself, you know, just, it's just awful watching yourself. I finally got over it after a while. Like I watched so much footage in that, of that movie. It's like, I wasn't even watching me anymore. I'm like, can this guy just, you know, look towards the camera? I'm like, oh, wait, that's me.
That's funny. One of your great bits, one of my favorite bits, is when you riff on how insanely jealous women get at the simplistic pleasure men are able to get from sitting in a lounge chair with a bowl of popcorn and a six-pack by their side, just watching football. What do you find funny about sports fans?
Oh, the fact that they think everyone else cheats except for them, the fact that they think the announcer hates their team but loves everybody else, the fact that they think the refs are this and that, you know. I got to be honest, as a Patriots fan, watching that whole Otani scandal just kind of come and go is like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, we had the Colts. They were doing like Boss Hog stuff, like putting fake fire hydrants next to the Patriots going, oh, they talk next to wide. Like, I got to be honest, dude, that Deflategate thing, it's so ridiculous. It was an investigation, an independent investigation by the owner of the losing team, who was not even a reputable guy. And you would think that Goodell would have been like, you know, I do the investigations. Don't go over my head. And the fact that they upheld it, it blows my mind, but it's like, all right, I get it. It's a business. I don't know. But then to watch Ohtani be like, oh, yeah, that $4.5 million, that was my interpreter. It's like, how much are you paying this guy?
Bill Burr is our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Four shows next weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Arizona Financial Theater. You can go to their website for tickets. Where else can they go for tickets, or is that the only place, Bill?
I have no idea. I don't deal with that part of the business.
All right, good,
I just make sure my act is ready to go, which it is. I'm ready to tape a special, so you got to get me at the top of my game when I come through.
That is awesome. Speaking of Boston sports, I mean, the Celtics are going into the playoffs as the favorite to win the whole thing. They've been close. They don't win this thing. Is it a failure, Bill?
I think guys like you would enjoy that, sure. This is what all non-athletic dad bod guys do. They did that to the kid on Milwaukee last year. Was it a failure? Is it a failure that you blah, blah? It's like every team fails every year except for one. The regular season is not the playoffs. That whole stupid thing, they do it every year, and they do it on purpose, where they put all of this weight on the regular season. And going into, you know, the playoffs is completely different. First of all, it's usually the older teams, because the older teams know in March to save something, and the younger kids are still balling out and everything. They're gonna be gassed by mid-May, and these older guys are gonna have like an extra gear. And then secondly, anybody on any given night can beat the Warriors, the Lakers, whoever the hell the top teams are, one game. But to beat them 4 out of 7, it's just a completely different animal. Mm-hmm. And it happens in hockey all the time. They won the President's Trophy. How come they didn't win the Cup? They say that every year.
Yep, that's
every
true.
Single year. It's like, because you have to, like, you know, that's a playoffs are a war. Series, it's a
no
war.
Doubt.
All right? And it's like, I feel like the regular season is stretching, you know, before you get involved. So I have to be honest with you. The Celtics, we're loaded with talent. I think Holiday's experience is huge. What I don't like about the Celtics that I saw all year is that when we played like the Charlotte Hornets, we wouldn't destroy them. And all of a sudden we come out like, yeah, these guys stink. And next thing you know, we're in a game. And I just know that like all the great teams, they had like that killer instinct where even in the regular season when they played some, you know, bum ass team, like the game was over by the beginning of the third quarter.
Right. No doubt.
And
we did not do that. We got into games with like some really bad teams, and there should have been an easy night, and the guys should have been sitting on the bench with like 3 minutes left in the third quarter having an easy night. And instead, you know, we would be like, you know, up by 2 or down by 6.
Now, I had read on this current tour that you are staying away from politics, and I laughed out loud because you said you could not believe that we are down to between choosing between two really old idiots.
Yeah,
so you're leaving a gold mine on the table, Bill.
Again, I look at this election like, you know when Hollywood makes a really bad movie and you're like, wow, that movie sucked. And then like 2 years later, a sequel is coming out. You're like, they're making another one of these things? Who the hell liked the first one? This is terrible. I would like to see two people in their 40s that, you know, are actually... I would like to see two people in their 40s that would still have to live with the decisions that they make, unlike these two old coots. And then secondly, I would like to see someone that actually talks about what is really happening in this country and is not immediately labeled a socialist, a communist, an anti-Semite, and they're just getting tarred and feathered. Anytime you say, you know, hey, you know, this one corporation buying up the whole all the houses, taking away the American dream, immediately. He's a socialist, he's a communist, he's said anti-Semitic things, and they just destroy the guy. But if you're out there going like, everything our party does is great, but the other party's terrible. You're totally in.
Yep, it's true.
Bill, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for the time.
Love you, man.
Now you got me going. If I was running things, I would immediately shut down Fox News and CNN, and I would try them all for treason.
There you go. Yes.
Their job every morning is to divide Americans. That's how they make money. Dividing their own countrymen. They're horrible people. Don't listen to them.
You are the best, man. Keep rocking and rolling, Bill.
There you go. Thanks, Bill.
All right,
appreciate it.
I'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bill Burr in town, Arizona Financial Theater. Next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Go to 5.
I'm guessing you're pretty good as a comedian if you have 4 nights. I'm guessing you're pretty popular.
Yeah, I mean,
if you can sell 4 shows.
And yeah, Bill's got the choice now if he wants to play places like Fenway Park or if he wants to do four shows at a 5,000 seat theater. That's what he's doing next week. ArizonaFinancialTheater.com for tickets. He is fantastic.
He's also a great actor. If you ever seen him in things.
Yeah.
Even in The Mandalorian, he was really good.
I didn't watch I didn't even know he was in that, actually.
2 episodes.
Coming up next, we'll get into some Cardinals draft preparation. We're within the week. 6 days away. We'll be talking next Friday about who they got in the first round. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Wolf. NFL analysts believe the 2024 NFL draft is the Arizona Cardinals' moment. So what do we believe will set up this franchise for years to come? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
This is a set your franchise up situation here for the Arizona Cardinals. The Houston Texans did it last year. If you go back and look at a lot of the Super Bowl teams, you know, you can identify the 1 or 2 year period where their draft set that run up. Seattle's one that comes right to mind, you know, what they did over a couple years. I remember, you know, back when I was in Baltimore in the early 2000s, the Chargers had gone on a good run, and we had talked about it in our meeting room that they had literally back-to-back drafts, just two drafts where they hit on about five guys each, and it set them up to be a really competitive team for a decade. So this is their moment here. So they need to, they need to get some guys who really make a difference for them.
It's Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, kind of previewing what could happen. And I love the Houston Texans comparison. Last year, the Houston Texans had been the dregs of the NFL for a long time. They hit it out of the park on draft night, even by the way, including a 2024 first-round pick, which the Cardinals have at number 27. They ascend all the way to the playoffs. They're going to be a very sexy pick to maybe make the Super Bowl this year if they continue to develop. I agree with Daniel Jeremiah. With this situation, with what the Cardinals have in their back pocket going into draft night in terms of number of picks and how they might be able to manipulate that and make it grow, we could be talking about the Cardinals the same way we talked about the Texans, but you got to hit. That's the thing.
Listen, and talking to a guy yesterday, one of my NFL sources, a couple things that I was told that may or may not be news to you and everybody listening. Number one, he's convinced that the Denver Broncos are going to move down from 12 because Sean Payton is in love with Bo Nix. I've heard this before this, but that is a quarterback that seems to already have a place. I was also told, watch out for the Raiders, that they really want Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels really wants them. Now, if Jaden Daniels is the second pick in the draft, I don't know what the Raiders can do to wrestle that pick from the Commanders, if you will. But I was just told to watch the Raiders. Okay.
We did our quarterback predictions going into the offseason, and we included free agents and other veterans who are available and also draft picks, I think Jaden Daniels, that's where I had him going. Now, it would take a Herculean effort for them to move up, competing with other quarterback-hungry teams.
No doubt.
They would have to give up the farm.
No doubt about it. And this person told me that as much as I doubted that the Cardinals will not have suitors, the idea is going to be that nobody knows how this is going to play out, and this could turn out to be as crazy as we all think it might be. And his position was the Cardinals will definitely be trading out of that four spot because they are going to have multiple suitors. There's going to be a lot of stuff swirling. So I'm glad Monty Austin-Fort's got a good head on his shoulders when it comes to, you know, in the line of fire kind of stuff.
Yes. He's in position to be that guy again this year. Monty Austin-Fort spoke to the media yesterday. And what you just said, you know, what your people and others believe this as well, the Cardinals are very equipped and probably will move down from four because of what is at their disposal if they do. You might be in love with Marvin Harrison Jr. at four. You might be in that camp that says don't sway, the C.J. Stroud camp. Don't be dumb. Mm-hmm. Be smart.
That's right.
Pick Marvin Harrison Jr. Monty Austin-Fort was asked, hey, what would you tell those fans that are in love with a certain prospect a week before the draft?
Well, I mean, our fans are very important to us. And, you know, I think ultimately what I can promise and what I always promise is we're going to do what's best for the team. We're going to do what's best for the team this year and then also long term. And so, you know, I guess everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got favorites. And that goes with the territory. So, you know, I think ultimately JG and talked about this at length, like no matter what decision it is, whether it's draft or free agency or cutting a player or who makes a practice squad, every decision that we make, it will always be what's in the best interest of the team.
Yeah, so the possibility Marvin Harrison Jr. does not become a Cardinal is very real. Cardinals need wide receivers. If we're talking next Friday morning on this show, and the Cardinals wheel and deal, and they got draft picks all over the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Is it of your mindset that they have to get a wide receiver on the first night of the draft?
That's the way I look at it, Vinny.
I do too.
I do. Listen, I was also told that, and this is something that I've also believed for a while, that not only does Jim Harbaugh really want and is going to take an offensive lineman with that fifth pick in the draft. The guy's name is Joe Alt, the kid out of Notre Dame. That's who Jim Harbaugh allegedly loves. Then you get down to, okay, when does the run on, if we go quarterbacks four, it, regardless of who the teams are, 1, 2, 3, and 4, that involves the Cardinals trading out, and then you've got Joe Alt going 5 to the Chargers, then where does the run on wide receivers begin? And where can you be to safely get one of the three if that's good enough for you? The Titans apparently are looking at a wide receiver. All right, they let A.J. Brown go.
Brought in Hopkins, but yeah, they probably need something for the future.
Right, exactly. So and they're at 7, and the Giants obviously are at 6.
Well,
so
they want a receiver, not necessarily a specific receiver. The mm-hmm. Titans have to feel great about being at 7.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
So I think if you're the Cardinals, the deal with the Giants to go from 4 to 6, depending on what you get out of that, I don't know what the calculations generally give you from going dropping down or allowing a team to go from 6 to 4. I don't think a first round pick's involved in that equation, mm-hmm. but maybe a second and a third. I don't know. It's listen, we hear this every year that it's, oh, no one knows what's going to happen. The reason why I think there's so much uncertainty about this particular draft is because of Drake May. Because is there really belief that he's a top four guy? That seems to be the question that's swirling.
It only takes one team to have that belief.
That's it.
Monty Austinfort was also asked, hey, all these picks, especially at the top of the draft, 6 of the first 100 picks, what can that do for you?
Well, I mean, we gotta get the right guys. You know, we got to get the right guys. And again, the best way, at least in my belief, the best way to build a roster, to build a core, to build a foundation is through the draft. And so we think we took the right steps last year in doing that with the group that we added last year, and you know that's the goal for this year, is to add another group like we did last year that can continue to add to our group, carve out a role, be the right type of people, be the right type of leaders.
Yeah, you can enter to win an exclusive NFL draft experience. Text the word draft to 620-620 to enter for the chance to win a reserve table and $200 in food and beverage credit at Flanker's Kitchen and Sports Bar inside the BetMGM Sportsbook, all while having a front row seat at our live broadcast next Thursday as we await the Cardinals' first pick. Once again, text DRAFT to 620-620 to get entered. Now, coming up next, Sarah Cazell will take us through some social studies on this Friday morning. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, coming to you live from the Ak Chin Community Studios here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.